Good to see you this morning. I welcome you. Welcome our visitors. We're so thankful that you're among us. It's good to see Brother Terry Hicks from some years past. Used to be in Lancaster, California, now in Henderson, Tennessee, and good to have him visiting. Also, I believe I got the name correct, the Parks from, I messed it up. But they're from Austin anyway, Cedar Park. That's why I've got Park on my brain. Anyway, we're thankful for them visiting as well, and perhaps there's others. Sophie, that's one, okay? All right. Thankful so much that everyone is here and our opportunity to worship together as we center our minds on God's Word. I invite you to get a Bible and join us in our Bible study as we listen to God, and we'll be talking about that some this morning. It's a very simple lesson. It's about walking by faith. As we have read, as Seth read for us from God's Word in 2 Corinthians 5, a familiar verse in that context of walking by faith and not by sight. That as the apostle drives home the point that we do not live for here and now, but we live for eternity. That we don't live for the mortal, but for immortality. And that while we live in the flesh, we are to live for those things that are beyond the flesh and beyond this moment as we look toward eternity. And that compels us in seeking to please God in all things, he says, to also understand the judgment is coming and the terror of the Lord also persuades us. There are just a number of persuasions in that context, and that would be a good study as well at some point for us to identify those things that that persuade us to persuade others in the gospel of Jesus Christ. What I'd like for us to focus our attention on this morning for a little while from God's Word is, first of all, to understand that really we walk one of two paths in life, that there really is no neutrality. There's not a third option, and standing there not making a choice in essence also demonstrates a choice that we're making. And so the passage notably says we walk by faith. We don't sit by faith. We don't stand by faith. We walk by faith. Of course, he's speaking about a way of life. And there really is only one of two. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. We cannot. Now, someone said, well, I'm not the master. I'm not the servant of anyone. Well, no, that's a mistake. That's not correct. We all are under authority in some way, some capacity, and usually more than one. When it comes to God, we really can choose to serve Him, or we can choose to serve riches, material things, but we cannot serve God and riches. We have a master one way or the other, and we're serving one or the other. Jesus, in that same sermon, will say in verse 13, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult or straitened is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. So the gospel is called the way. We discussed that some last Wednesday in our Bible class. That in the book of Acts, repeatedly we have references of the way. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes into the Father but by me. That's why, for example, in chapter 12 of Matthew, he said in verse 30, he who is not with us is against us. He who is not gathered with us scatters. We are either are with Christ, serving His will, or we are against Him, and we shall be scattered. So, walking by faith, not by sight, is the idea of not walking or living by appearances. Not living just for the moment. Not living for the external things. But to understand, as Paul said in that context, though the outward man decays, the inward man is renewed day by day. Chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. In that text, note that it says that we are confident. And Paul uses that idea twice. He says in verse 6, we are also confident. And then again in verse 8, we are confident. We are courageous, he says. And the reasons, he says, is because of the testimony of God's Word and the validation of that Word. He has demonstrated that in the Word that He has spoken from God in the first five verses and continuing. This is inspired message from God. But then he talks about the Spirit in verse 5. You see, the Holy Spirit has provided that testimony by inspiration, revelation, and He validates it through the confirming miracles. And so the work of the Spirit concerning the gospel is a recognition of, is a guarantee, He is a guarantor of the fact that there is an eternal home in the heavens. And so this compels us to walk by faith. You see, verse 7. We're always confident, therefore. We're not dismayed by the world and the world events. We're not discouraged and destroyed because the world is an animosity against God. It always has been because of sin. God so loved this world that He gave His Son. And so let us not be disheartened, but let us be strengthened to walk by faith instead of by what we see at the moment. Because that clouds our judgment. That clouds our vision of the eternal home, as Paul writes of it, to be clothed with immortality. So how do we do that? As we aim to please God. Verse 9, he said, we make it our aim. We make it our aim to, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. In every circumstance or situation, this is our objective, is to please God, not to please myself. Really, not ultimately to please others, but to please God. Now, by pleasing God, there will be benefits of those of like faith, but our objective is to please God, as was the Son's will as well. And so, the book of Hebrews chapter 11 talks at length about faith. But I want us to focus on this idea of walking by faith. We walk by faith. Three very simple concepts this morning of what it takes, one step after another, to walk by faith. You know, walking is not that, is it? Standing still is not walking. Taking a step is taking a step. We know what the difference between that is and walking. Walking is talking about a way of life, a practice, the habit of our conduct, the course that we pursue, the way, the path on which we live. And so we're to walk by faith. The faith is the assurance of things hoped for. There's the confidence, the conviction of unseen things. And so God's Word and will, its testimony and evidences, support and sustain our faith in things we do not yet see. How do we walk by faith? First of all, we hear what God says. We hear what God says. You remember the story of Samuel the boy? When he kept hearing a voice say, Samuel, Samuel, he thought it was Eli. Finally, he understood it was God. And Eli told him, said, when you hear the voice, say this, Samuel. And so Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. Speak, for your servant hears. Brethren, if we're going to walk by faith, we must view ourselves as servants. Servants. That when the Master speaks, we serve. When the Master speaks, we act. Faith, we know the verse, don't we? Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If we're going to have faith at all, we're going to have to listen to what God says. Now, we'll get on to the other aspects in a minute, but first of all, we just got to listen to God. Mark 12 and 37, it said when Jesus was teaching, it says that the common people heard Him gladly. And so, it's not just hearing a sound, but it is listening. Listening, understanding. Now, Gary and I were talking after class this morning about about truth. About our need for truth as a society and really as individuals, as the people of God, we need truth. God's Word is truth, John 17:17, Jesus said. The world doesn't recognize that, but we know that it is. So to listen to God, to hear God, is listening to truth. And the reason we do that is because what God says is right. What God says is right. And no amount of arguing with it, rejecting it, refusing it, is going to change that. Luke 8 and verse 8, remember Jesus said, after teaching the parable of the sower and the soils, said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Well, we all have ears this morning, but are we all hearing? Are we listeners to what God says? Because if I'm going to walk by faith, the first step is I'm going to have to listen to God, because faith comes by hearing His will. "Speak, Lord, your servant hears." The statutes of the Lord, of God, are right, enduring forever. Psalm 19 and verse 8. What He says is right. Now, if we're going to walk by faith, we've got to do more than simply assert that. More on that in a minute. But we've got to drive that concept home into our hearts. My question is, are we listening to God? A couple of things about that Jesus said. One is, when you listen, be careful how you listen. That same chapter, Luke 8 and verse 18, He'll go on to say, "Therefore take heed how you hear." And the reason He said that was nothing that is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. So we need to take heed how we hear. "For whoever has, to him more will be given, and to whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, it will be taken from him." How are you listening to God? You know how a lot of people listen to God? "I'm going to go on a walk and I'm going to just let God talk to me." If we're not careful, we can fall into some of those same concepts ourselves. We can sing songs that say, "Walking alone at eve, he walks with me and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own." Well, that's good if God's law is written in your heart and you're listening to his law. But what are we listening? How are we listening? You can listen to God while you're walking if you know His law, if you know His word, if you know His truth, and you call that to memory. Absolutely. But a lot of people think, "No, I'm going to listen to God. I'm going to go up and enjoy the mountains. I'm going to listen to God by catching fish, you know, or having a round of golf or whatever it might be. Cooking a cake. I don't know." How? Be careful how you listen. How are you listening to God today in your life? Ponder that a minute with me. Secondly, be careful what you hear. Jesus said in Mark 4, look at this, verses 23 through 25, be careful what you're listening to. Mark 4 and 23, Jesus said, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear." All right, here it is. Take heed what you hear. He'd already said, be careful how you hear. And he says, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you, or measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. So what are you listening to? Now, my point, and Jesus' point was, I believe, is be careful you're listening to God. But again, I'm going to ask that question. How are you listening to God? How are you listening to God? You know how? You spend time with His Word. You spend time with His Word. God is calling us through His gospel. Most everybody has a phone here. Landline cell phone. Now I know cell phones make it easy to just say, I'll call you back later. Or, you know, see who it is. Do I want to talk to this person? No. My question is, when God's talking to us, do we want to pick up the phone? We're answering that, aren't we? By whether we pick up the Bible and read what He's saying to me. Oh, I just don't have time to do that. I'm just so busy. God will understand. What if somebody always put, I'll call you back later, when you try to reach them on the phone, and they never answer the phone? Do you think they really want to listen to what you have to say? You think they respect you enough to spend a little bit of time with you and your message to them? Why is it then that we come to God? He'll understand. I mean, after all, Seth read us the Bible a minute ago, and we have some men read the Bible here at the table, and when we get started, and hey, so are we hearing God? If we're not hearing what God says, how can we have faith? And how, pray tell, can we walk by faith? Be careful how you hear. Be careful what you hear. Jesus said in John 8:43. I guess next time somebody calls you on the phone and you answer it, or you don't answer it, I want you to think about God. And are you hearing Him and His words? Are you letting Him speak to you? Because this is how He's going to speak to you. You're going to open the Bible and you're going to read His Word. And let that understanding come into your heart. Jesus said to men there, why don't you understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word. You're not able to listen. Why weren't they able to listen? Because they were of their father the devil, verse 44. Oh, I'm not of the devil. Well, who do I listen to? Who is my father? Who is my master? Am I listening so I can walk by faith? These are serious questions. It's a simple message. But it takes all of our being when we choose to walk by faith, to listen to God. Ephesians 3, 3 and 4, Paul says how that by revelation was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in few words, whereby when you read, you can understand my understanding. You can perceive my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. When you read what I wrote, you can understand what I know about the will of God for your redemption and your salvation. Not what you feel, not what you think, not what seems good sense to you. No, what God says is what produces faith. Because, hey, we've all got our own good sense, don't we? Well, not everybody does. But we're pretty comfortable with our own concepts and our own common sense. Our own self-sense. That's not faith, brethren. That's not faith. That's faith in ourselves. That's walking by appearance. That's walking by sight. We've got to listen to God if we're going to walk by faith. We need to be careful that we're hearing what God says on all things that pertain to life and godliness. 2 Peter 1:3. But if we're going to walk by faith, when I hear what God says, I've got to believe Him. Because God speaks truth. Now I need to believe truth. I need to believe what God says. So how can I believe unless I hear it? Don't you see? Romans 10, 13 and 14. 14 specifically. What about the Ethiopian? When Philip preached Jesus to him, they came down the road and they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? He'd been listening. He'd been listening about Jesus. And he'd been listening about salvation from his sins. He'd heard what Philip had said about baptism. And he said, well, Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
He'd been listening. And now he's told, you need to believe. You need to believe.
You see, faith, we need faith to trust God's Word.
He needed to trust that what Philip was teaching him was true.
We need faith to trust God's Word. Let me give you an illustration of that in the book of Mark about a man named Jairus. In Mark, the 5th chapter, there was a man who was the ruler of the synagogue. And Jairus had a daughter, and she was at the point of death. And the text, he begged Jesus, saying, come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. Now we pick up after the healing of another person, we come down to verse 35, and it says, while Jesus was still speaking to that woman, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. Now, what if Jairus had trusted the word of those people who brought the message, your daughter is dead, don't trouble Jesus? What if he had trusted that more than the word of Jesus that said, do not be afraid, just believe?
It's a lot easier to listen, to believe the messenger that there is no hope, all is lost, there is no good, nothing can come of it. Or do we listen to Jesus and the word of Jesus that says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Believe. You see, if Jairus had not had faith to trust the word of Jesus Christ, his daughter would have remained dead. But he did. And Jesus healed the young girl. So, do we really trust God's Word when it teaches us the attitude to have, when it teaches us the conduct to have, when it teaches us as fathers to love our children, when it teaches us as mothers, when it teaches us as husbands and wives, as brethren in the body of Christ? And it teaches us our responsibilities. Do we really trust it? Or do we listen to other people? Do we listen to ourselves and convince ourselves against what God's Word says? Brethren, if we're going to walk by faith, we not only must hear what God says, that is, know what He says, understand what He says, but we're going to have to believe it. We're going to have this immense determination to trust that what God says is right and that it will be the right way for us. Secondly, to believe what God says is to have faith or trust, to have the faith to trust in God's power. To walk by faith means we're not trusting in ourselves. Really, go back with me now to Matthew, the 9th chapter. In Matthew 9, 27 through 30, because this is now immediately after the events recorded here, after the events of the healing of Jairus' daughter. And when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he came into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? That I have the ability, that I have the power to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord, do we believe Jesus can save the lost? That he can save you and me, and he can save the lost around us? Do we believe that? That he can give sight to those who are spiritually blind? Well, they said, yes, we believe. Of course, note they're pleading for mercy. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you.
And their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, saying, "See, you tell no one, but they spread the message abroad." Now, according to your faith, let it be done to you. Let it be to you. So, wow, that's a penetrating statement. According to my faith, let it be done to me and you. If we say that, if Jesus says that to us, let it be done to you according to your faith. Do you really believe I have the power? Whose power are we trusting in every day? Really? Are we trusting in the power of the markets? Are we trusting in the power of people? Are we trusting in the power of ourselves? Are we trusting in the power of health? What are we trusting in? Faith is about trusting in God's Word and God's power. Now, this applies to us as the church. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. This is not theoretical, hypothetical. He says, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Brethren, that says God is able. He's abundantly, exceedingly able to do the work because of the power that works in us. So, but for His power to work in us, we have to let it work. And how do we do that? Philippians 2, 12, 13 says, we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We hear and we trust and then we serve His will. That takes us to point three. You see, as we listen to the Word of God in everything and trust that it will accomplish the purposes of God because and we make our purposes His purposes. We mesh the two together. You see, our purposes can't be different from God's purposes and walk by faith. We make it our aim to be well-pleasing to Him. God's purposes prevail, so His purposes must be ours. When we walk by faith, they are, because we hear, we believe, and we obey. Jesus said, when Satan tempted Him, "If you're the Son of God, command these stones to be bread." Because you're hungry after all. You haven't eaten in 40 days. You need some food. And Jesus answered, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Our life source is not the meal we're going to eat in a little while. Our life source is every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. By the way, Jesus would also later teach, "I'm the bread of life. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life." John 6th chapter. We must imbibe and we must partake of Jesus so that we can follow Him, so we can obey Him. We have to obey what God says because you see, faith saves when faith obeys. It is not a trite statement. It is a biblical principle that faith is saving faith when faith obeys the Savior. James chapter 2 and verse 14. "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save it?" What profit is it for me to say I have faith but I don't act on that faith? I don't implement that faith to do God's Word and will in my life. It can't save me. I'm lost. Verse 17, "Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." The works are the actions that come from trusting God. It's obedience. Verse 20, "Don't you know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Please, let's don't deceive ourselves that we have a living, active faith when we don't do what the Word says, which is supposed to be the source of our faith." Verse 24. "You see, then a man is justified by works and not by faith only." You see, he says, do you discern? Do you grasp the point? as he used Abraham to illustrate it. You see, faith saves when it obeys God. And so in Hebrews 11, we have men and women of faith who listened to God. They heard His Word. They trusted God and they did what God said. From Abel to Enoch to Noah to Abraham to Sarah. And on down the list. And many unnamed ones. Men and women of faith obey what God says. Galatians 5 says, "You were running well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth?" You were running well. Reminds me of not just the person running a race or running in that nature, but as he says, but it's kind of like the automobile or the lawnmower or the motorcycle. You run out of fuel. You don't have fuel. You don't go anywhere. Faith without obedience is like the car without fuel. It's not going to go anywhere. Faith obeys. Faith obeys. Well, before we close, let me just turn our attention to Ephesians for a minute. Because again, simple points. We've got to hear what God says. We've got to believe what God says. We've got to obey what God says. But when we do that, you put those steps together and you're walking by faith. Ephesians 2:10 says, "We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." He wants us to practice them. Walk in them. And so, he talks about chapter 4:1, "I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." That is, live worthy of the gospel that called you into Christ Jesus. So we've got to hear. We've got to trust, believe, we've got to obey to walk worthy. We're to no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, verse 17. There's some walk we've got to stop. You see, as we walk worthy of our calling. Walk in love, as Christ has loved us. Verse 2. We're to walk in love as Christ walked in love. Tall order. How do we do it? By hearing His Word, trusting His Word, obeying His Word. Walk as children of light. Verses 8 through 10. You were once darkness, but are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. One step in front of the other. Hear, believe, obey. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable, well-pleasing to the Lord. Not to ourselves, to the Lord. Find out what pleases God. By listening, by trusting, by obeying. Hear, believe, obey. Children of light. Walk carefully, he said. Circumspectly, some older versions say. Walk circumspectly. Look carefully, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Walking by faith. We put these steps into place. We'll walk by faith. Hear God's Word. Believe God's Word. Obey God's Word. You do that to be saved, initially. To save from past sins. Acts 2, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Verse 21, as he quotes from Joel. But look at the next verse. He said, "Men of Israel, hear these words." Whoever calls on God is going to be saved. Now you people, hear these words. Hear. Listen. And as he preached the gospel to them, when they heard this, verse 37, they were cut to the heart and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They're cut to the heart. They're convicted of the truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, verse 36. So they hear and they believe. And they were told to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. There's the obey.
When would they walk by faith? When they, after hearing truth, they believed the truth, they obeyed the truth. Verse 41, they that received His word were baptized, and there were added to that day about 3,000 souls. That's how you start walking by faith. How you are saved from your past sins and become a Christian. If you haven't done that, then Jesus says, come to me. Hear me. Believe me. Obey me. And I'll save you. But to Christians, He says, now, brethren, we have to walk by faith. We have to be faithful disciples of Jesus. Listening to Him. Trusting Him. Obeying Him. Look at 1 John as we close. In verse 7. 1 John 1 and verse 7. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You know what? Let me pause right here. You see, the devil wants to convince people that any time a Christian sins, that just means they're a hypocrite and there's no use and it's no good and everything's always wrong. No. When we commit sin, He says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Remember, we're talking about a walk. If we commit sin, we need to confess it to God, not say, I don't have it, and not believe the devil's lie that any time somebody sins, then they're just a hypocrite because they say they're a Christian and then they sin. How could they do that? They're just a hypocrite. No, that's not hypocrisy. That's not at all what hypocrisy is. That's the devil's lie. Don't be deceived. And don't be deceived that we can practice sin and it'll all be okay. We can't. Because we're not obeying Jesus. We're not trusting His word. We're trusting some other word. And it will not lead us home. So, if there's sin in your life as a Christian, confess it to God and pray His forgiveness. And He will forgive. We're here to help one another accomplish that. If there's something public needs to be set right with each other, then use this opportunity to do that. But if you're not a Christian, we urge you to become one this morning, right now. Having heard God's Word, do you believe it? And if you do, obey it and be saved by God's grace through faith. All together we stand and sing. Won't you come?